Bernie Ball Podcast.
That's all we got? One goddamn hit?
A podcast for Brewers fans.
Just a bit outside.
By Brewers fans.
He tried the corner and missed.
Now, the hosts of the Bernie Ball Podcast. Here's Dan White.
A juvenile delinquent in the offseason.
And Ryan Connor.
You can't say goddamn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Welcome into episode 2 of the BernieBall.net podcast. I'm Dan White, joined by Ryan Connum, as always. We're at the time of this recording, the Brewers are 23 games into their 162-game regular season, and so far they've started out the year pretty good. They're first place by a clear margin at 17-6, and on today's podcast, we'll be talking about a number of things, including the batting order, the pitching staff, and of course, the Carlos Gomez fight. But any early thoughts, comments on the beginning of the season, Ryan?
Boy, were we wrong on a lot of things last podcast. That's mainly the take of it. Caleb Gindel, who's not even on the team right now.
Nor is Juan Francisco, who is my pick to be the surprise. Let's take a quick peek back at the early part of the season with a series-by-series breakdown. The season started with a three-game set at home against the Atlanta Braves, a series that the Brewers lost 2 out of 3, but didn't play all that poorly that series.
Their hitting was a little off that series. They had a chance to win 2 out of 3 that last game. Harang versus Garza, with both of them taking a no-hitter into the seventh, was pretty crazy. Garza ended up giving up that one home run to Chris Johnson and ended up losing that game. But still, the Braves so far this year are on a good pace. I believe they're 15-7, so it's not like we lost 2 out of 3 to a bad team.
Yeah, right now Atlanta is 15-7, 2.5 games clear in the East. Right now the Brewers are 4.5 clear of the Cardinals in the Central. And that game, that was a crazy game. Garza, Harang, no hitters into the seventh. But in those three games, the Brewers scored 4 runs total, winning 2-0 on opening day, losing 5-2 in the second game, and 1-0 in the series finale. But the highlight of that series, I think, speaks more about the pitching staff and how it was a good start to the season, a nice surprise to have a guy like Garza come out and pitch extremely well when he'd been struggling his last few starts at the end of last season and into spring training. He had struggled a bit, so it was nice to see him come out and pitch that well on his first start of the year.
Same with Giovanni that series.
Yeah.
After coming back from a struggling year, he went 7 innings, no earned runs, picking up the win, 2-0.
And that's the game that opening day game was saved by Francisco Rodriguez.
Which surprised us all.
Yeah, but we'll get more on K-Rod a little bit later. That first weekend following the series against Atlanta, the Brewers traveled to Boston, which was a big weekend for the Red Sox, as it was their home opener. They got the World Series championship rings. They had the World Series banner on that Friday game. And the Brewers went into the ninth of that first game of that series, tied at 2, but ended up getting 4 and getting a 6-2 victory. And that was the first game of a nice long winning streak with a sweep at Fenway, with the Brewers winning 6-2 on Friday, 7-6 in 11 innings that Saturday, and then a 4-0 win on Sunday to complete the sweep. Wins that series by Kinsler, Thornburg, and Gallardo in respective games, and K-Rod picking up the save that Saturday. That was a huge series in my mind to really propel what's been a good early start to the year. As a couple years ago, we got swept out of Boston in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I remember Braun, after that series a couple years ago, when we got swept, he kind of called out the team and kind of took us off to the playoffs that year too. Now it's kind of different. We swept Boston, and it's propelling us to a great start to the season, 17-6. If I would have told you we would be 11 games over 500 right now in the first month of the season, would you believe me?
Well, being that guy who wrote that one article on BernieBall.net about not looking at the standings till Memorial Day for us Brewers fans because we had such a rough start to the season, just before the season started, it looked like it was going to be brutal. And now I'm the guy who has the standings page up every day with excitement and giddiness. So, yeah, a bit surprised. Just a bit, though. But, yeah, that was a great series for us, getting a sweep against a good team like that. is huge. But you get it their opening day, their first set of home games, and it's you get it on the road. You just can't put into words how big that is, except that it's only April. So still have to temper the excitement a little bit. But that series was followed up by a three-game set at Philly. It was that series was Philadelphia's home opener. And the Brewers were able to sweep the Phillies with a 10-4 win, 9-4 win, and then a 6-2 win. Wins picked up that series by Loesch, his first of the year. Thornburg got his second, and Estrada got the win in the finale. And that one, the big one, the big mark for me in that one was who the Brewers played against. Cliff Lee started for the Phillies in that finale, and the Brewers just hit him right off the mound.
Exactly, and it was the series that kind of propelled Ryan Braun's season to get going a little bit, coming off three home runs in the game one, and then having a couple more RBIs in the next two games. He was struggling a bit through the first six games, but that was kind of the series that propelled him. I don't know if it was all the booing he got, but...
Yeah, that I was able to take in some Philadelphia local sports talk the day after that first game of the series when Braun hit three homers, and they, from what I had heard, a lot of the local radio guys were saying, just stand up and cheer him. Give Braun a standing ovation. Clearly the boos aren't working here in Philly, but he's...
Ryan, throw off his game, probably.
Yeah, Ryan Braun's stats in Philly have just been phenomenal over his career.
All of his home runs this year have come in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Against the Pirates and
yes,
Phillies.
Yes, they have. But he... I don't remember the exact figures, and I can't find them right now, but I remember he's hitting somewhere right around the 450 clip when he plays in Philly. So that doesn't come as a huge surprise to me. However, that last game of the series, when it was Estrada picking up the win over Cliff Lee didn't actually pitch all that bad. He pitched six innings, gave up eight hits, three runs all earned, and he struck out eight. But Estrada was just a little bit better, pitching six innings, only giving up two runs, both earned, and only five hits, and he struck out six. So all in all, that was a huge series for the Brewers, just like the Red Sox was, but it extended our win streak out to six, all six on the road. And, I mean, this is a team that they're not good. Philly isn't. They underachieve, but their payroll is so high, they can go off at any minute.
It's a good sign that to just to not slump down to your competition, actually beat those teams that are supposed to be below you. And sweeping the Phillies just proves that the Brewers can do that all year.
Exactly. Well, following that Philly series, it was a weekend set, April 11th, 12th, and 13th at Miller Park. The Pirates came to town, and the Brewers continued their winning streak, opened it up to nine with a 4-2 win, 3-2 win, and a 4-1 win, with wins being picked up by Peralta, Jim Henderson, and Kyle Loesch, with two saves in that series by K-Rod and one save in the series by Will Smith, a guy you weren't too high on in our last podcast.
Oh, man, I love Will Smith now. Hasn't given up a run yet this year, I believe, in 12 or 13 outings. This was a great series for the pitching as the Brewers didn't score many runs. I believe they only scored, let's see here, what was it, 11 runs the whole series?
Yep, 11. They outscored the Pirates 11-5 in those three games.
All those games could have turned around and went the other way for the Brewers, but it's glad they pulled them off, the close ones. And K-Rod's just shutting down the door right now. He hasn't given up any runs either. Same with Will Smith, I believe.
Looking at the stats, K-Rod and Will Smith combined 25 outings, no runs allowed. Unearned or earned. So the back end of the bullpen has pitched very well to this point. But in that series, the Brewers were able to beat Liriano and Morton, who are two of Pittsburgh's premier pitchers and two of the guys that are going to have to lead that pitching staff on if the Pirates are going to make a return trip to the playoffs. So it was nice to get home, get some home cooking, and clearly that helped. That was nice for the Brewers to open up their win streak to nine, which made them a 10-2 team after 12 games, and that was well far out into first place in the Central Division.
Exactly.
The next series was always a slugfest when the Cardinals are against the Brewers. It was the 14th, 15th, and 16th of April, and the Cardinals came to Miller Park and took 2 out of 3. The Cardinals took game 1 4-0. took game two 6-1, and the Brewers were able to avoid the sweep with a 5-1 win.
One thing that might hinder Milwaukee, which did in the series, but for the whole season, was they're kind of inconsistent hitting-wise. None of them really take walks. They're kind of a free-swinging team, but that can be good and bad. Might as well swing when you're up there. But as you can see in the series, they only scored one run in the first two games against Lance Lynn, who's, I guess he's pretty good, but you won't say he's a marquee pitcher. I can't remember who they played the second game of that series. Who did he play against?
Shelby Miller was
the starter. Yeah, he seems to always kill the Brewers for some reason, but other than that, they're not like premier pitchers, and we only scored one run. So.
Yeah, and I mean, to his credit, Lance Lynn has been pretty good this year. He's right now looking at a 3.3 ERA. He's 4-1 on the year, and he's near the top in the National League in strikeouts with 36 at this point. That said, he's a 3.78 career ERA, so it's nothing that's stellar, nothing spectacular, but he has pitched himself into the Cy Young discussion now. But for me, the biggest part, the biggest story of that series, in the first two games anyways, was Matt Garza. In that first game, he gave up all four runs. It was off two home runs, a solo home run and then a three-run home run. So he was 0-2, but he only made three bad pitches, really, that entire season to that point. So
my cousin was at that game, and she got hit in the head by the John Jay home run. Had to fill out an accident report and everything.
Nice.
Yeah, she's pretty dumb.
Did she cash in?
Should have. I don't think so, but...
Well, to me, though, that speaks volumes that really what Matt Garza needed was the Brewers to actually score some runs when he started, because at that point he was 0-2, and the Brewers were shut out in both of those games. So that goes right back to what you were saying with the inconsistency of some games they scored 10, 9, 5, 7, 4 runs. Other games, nothing. One. And I know that's baseball, and I know that's who you're playing against, but consistency would be really nice to see out of the team at this point. Following that Cardinals series, where the Brewers were 11-4, they headed out to Pennsylvania again, as you had alluded to, that they had a four-game series against the Pirates. They lost Game 1, 11-2. Then they took Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 5-3, 8-7, and then 3-2, a 14-inning affair. But
this was a pretty crazy series. Just the first game, Wei Chung Wang gave up all those runs. I guess Wootten came in first and kind of blew out the game. It was like 5-2 after he came in. They just put in Wang, and he just kept giving up more and more runs. So it was 2-2 in the seventh. It just looks bad. But then the next two games, I believe the next game was the Maldonado where he hit the cover off the ball.
Yes, that would have been the Friday night game. Yep.
That was a weird thing. And then the next game after that, Braun hit that go-ahead two-run homer off Grilly.
Yep.
And then the next game after that, that fight happened, and Braun hit another game-tying home run. So it was just a crazy series all around.
And it was nice to see Braun getting back into the groove with not just clutch hitting, but hitting in general. Early in those games, he wasn't necessarily hitting the ball and getting on base, but he was hitting the ball hard just right at people. And if you can keep doing that over a prolonged period of time, eventually the ball's going to sneak through and the baseball gods will forgive you.
Do you think the booing actually helps him focus more? Because 6 home runs on the road this year, 0 at home. I don't know if he just tries to prove the people wrong.
I think it's adrenaline, and I think it's ego that kicks in, where he goes out there and he wants to silence the crowd. But when he's at home, everybody gives him a standing ovation, cheers him on, and he's a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more relaxed. I think he must have that personality where he has to be a little bit higher strung and a little bit more out there to beat the world mentality. But it would be nice to see him do well at Miller Park.
Yeah. Give the fans something to cheer about every once in a while.
Come on. Well, and even if he doesn't hit home runs at home, which would be really nice, but
he's still
situational hitting, guy on second, no outs. Even if you're going to get out, move the guy to third. It's fundamental basic baseball, but for a lot of power hitters in the major leagues, it's about mashing the ball and getting the run in yourself. It'd be nice to see some of our guys get a little bit better about the situational hitting. But when your team's 17-6, it's hard to complain. But in that Pirates series, just to finish putting a bow on it, Wooten took the loss in Game 1, but for the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Loesch took the win, K-Rod got the save, then Henderson got a his second win of the year, and K-Rod got up to 6 on saves, and then Zach Duke got the win against his former team. K-Rod picked up his 7th save on Easter. And then, getting us to where we are today, the Brewers took 2 out of 3 over the Padres. Peralta getting a win, Loesch getting a win as well, Figaro getting a loss, and K-Rod picks up 2 more saves.
Yeah, we can skim over this series. It's kind of a boring one. Padres are always pretty boring to watch.
The one loss we had was a 2-1 game in 12 innings. Admittedly, I couldn't stay up for the whole thing because I got a little tired around the 10th, but it was a good game. It was close. And the Padres aren't great. They're not world beaters, but it was nice to get 2 out of 3 over them at home, a team we should beat. Nice to win the series. Can't complain at this point. And now that it's a Saturday afternoon, we can recap last night's game. A win over the Cubs, 5-2. Garza picking up the win over a former Brewer, Carlos Villanueva, who's 1-5 on the year.
Yeah, former Cub versus a former Brewer.
That is a mix. And K-Rod into double digits on saves already. Some of the highs of the year. I'll start with you, Ryan. What's one or two of your favorite moments of the year so far?
I would have to say Brown hitting those 3 home runs at Philly. Just the way he did it with everyone booing. You can hear people yelling, "Cheater!" in the background and everything. That's pretty hilarious, I thought. And sweeping Boston, that has to be up there too. Just putting the Brewers off to the right start was a huge opportunity.
For me, I'll go back just right to last night. K-Rod getting the save, moving up on the all-time career saves list. Now he's tied with Rob Nen for 13th all-time. It's not at the top of the list yet, but it's exciting to see somebody move up the board. But otherwise, I have to agree with all of your highs at this point. The sweep over Boston was huge because it was not just that, but that whole 9-game winning streak as a whole was, I don't think you can really argue that it wasn't a high point. The Ryan Braun just hitting the cover off the ball in the state of Pennsylvania. I think the Brewers need to look at relocating.
We can trade Braun. No, I'm just kidding. He's leading the team in RBIs. We probably should keep him.
Pittsburgh. We can get Andrew McCutchen and maybe another pitcher.
Put a Grilly on the DL after that series? Hurt feelings, yeah. I think it was. Abdomen strain, actually. I'm pretty sure that's just a fake thing. Where just give him rest for a couple weeks.
His tummy was hurt from crying too much.
What's the setup guy in Pittsburgh? Like McClellan or something? He's way better anyways.
McClellan, yep. Yeah. I'll take the first stab at the low for the year so far. Would have to be we alluded to the consistency, but so that would be one of mine. But I'll even go so far as to say the Gomez fight, the suspensions that were handed down for it. Maldonado is right now finishing out his 5-game suspension. Gomez was suspended for 3, and he appealed it, so he hasn't served it just yet. But
as long as Gomez is still there for his bobblehead tomorrow, that's probably why he appealed it.
I'm sure that had to do with it a little bit, but Garrett Cole, the pitcher who incited it, was able to skate free without a suspension.
Yeah, I feel like the media kind of portrayed it wrong. They're saying like Gomez did everything.
Yeah.
If Cole didn't come over there and start talking, he wouldn't have done anything.
Yeah.
Gomez did come off the bag like really quick, but...
And him and Maldonado did throw some swings, but...
Maldonado got a good punch, and that was nice. I would take 5 games for that.
If you're gonna get suspended, you might as well make it worth your money. So,
quick comment. Guess who's leading the league in saves right now? K-Rod. Guess who's second? John Axford.
Oh, I saw that this week. Former Brewer John Axford, now with the Cleveland Indians. And they've had a good start to the year, too. That whole AL Central division is just clustered, and I'm glad that we do not have that situation over on the National League side. But, you know, one thing we have had, Mark Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Nice little... consistent. He was a great addition for the Brewers. His consistency, his veteran leadership, his experience has played very nicely on the Brewers. And just to show how much of an idiot I was last time around, I had Juan Francisco as my surprise Brewer of the Year. He was going to take the competition and he was going to run with it. And about a week after we recorded it, he got cut from the team.
Yeah, so, we kind of talked down Reynolds last podcast as well. We talked about how he's going to strike out a ton, which he is. 25 strikeouts in, 61 at-bats?
Yep, 61 official at-bats. He has 12 hits, which gives him a 197 average. He has a 269 on base, 475 slugging.
So he's still striking out over 30% of his at-bats. But it's more of the defense that's kind of surprised us all. He's made some great plays over at first, saving a bunch of runs. Also played one game at third this year already and made some great plays over there as well. So even if he isn't hitting, he's still hitting for power though, and playing great defense.
Yeah, he, as far as his fielding stats, which nobody ever talks about, he has, let's see here, 129 putouts, 14 assists. He's only committed one error. So he still has a 993 fielding percentage, which...
And he didn't start his career as a first baseman, so that just shows how much work he's put in over there.
Right, and he was supposed to start the year as a platoon with Lyle Overbay, but he's actually earned himself a lot more starts at first base than Overbay has gotten, as Reynolds has played in 17 games. But I think one thing that he's shown for us that has been nice to see in the lineup from the first baseman is the power, the pop in the bat. He's second in the team with 5 home runs. He has 8 ribbies, and when he does get out, I mean, we did allude to his team high, second in the team. Interesting.
Yeah, Gomez is first, but he's had over 30 more at-bats.
And I noticed it because he's on my fantasy baseball team. But he does strike out a bunch, but when he puts the ball in play, he's smart with it. He's good at getting the productive outs. He's good at moving guys around, but he does have the pop in the bat, and the defensive prowess is really nice to see. Something we were missing at first base last year.
And if you put the two first basemen together, Overbay and Reynolds, they would be leading the team in home runs at 6, with Overbay hitting his first last night. So that's still pretty good production between the two of them.
It is, and it's something we didn't have last year, was hitting and fielding from first baseman. And Overbay has been pretty much the same thing as Reynolds. When it's nice to see we can put one guy on the bench.
You don't really expect them to do much, but when they do, it's something nice to see.
Yeah.
Just a little something extra, basically.
It's nice when we can have one guy come off the bench and give us the same production and the same expectation that the other guy has been giving. You don't get that a lot. You don't get that in most teams with the situation where you can just have another guy plugged into the lineup and you don't lose anything. It's essentially the same player, just one bats right-handed, the other one bats left-handed.
Unlike the Jeanette Weeks platoon.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Ricky Weeks.
Dickie Weeks.
Richard Weeks. What is there to say that hasn't been said about Dickie Weeks?
He doesn't deserve to be talked about. It's nice to see Jeanette kind of taking over that role, though. At least he's not struggling as well. So we have a consistent second baseman this year. He's batting over 300, 313 right now. 8 RBIs and 67 at plate appearances, or at-bats, I guess.
And Ricky Weeks, so far this year, he's played in 14 games for most of those of them. I'm sure have been pinch hits. 26 official at-bats. He only has 4 hits, giving him a 154 average, 7 strikeouts. And to me, that's the problem. If you're going to be a pinch hitter, he obviously lost the job to Jeanette because he's not consistent enough at the plate. But if you're going to be a guy wanting to get back into the lineup, you need to play well when you're called upon. And if you're coming off the bench as a pinch hitter, you know, in some situations, an out isn't bad. Like I was saying, if a guy's on second with no outs, hit a ground ball to the right side.
At least make contact.
Right. Get the guy over. Because a productive out is still, it's an out, yes, but it's still productive. It helps the team. And everybody will look at that and say, okay, whatever, your average is that. But if all of your outs or most of your outs are productive, most people on the team or most fans would look at that and shrug their shoulders. And you're helping the team. But when you strike out more than 25% of your at-bats, you're not helping the team. And his fielding hasn't been there. He had that one big error in Pittsburgh that everybody seems to remember. So it's...
Do you do with him? Do you keep him on the roster?
That's just what I was about to ask. At this point, what can we do with him? Trade value is not there.
What do you think when Schaefer comes back? Do you think Herrera might have a chance to stay on the roster in Weeks, maybe just get cut altogether? I don't know if they want to cut him because they're paying him, what, $12 million this year?
You don't cut him.
Just try to trade him for a player to be named in rookie ball or what?
You know what? Maybe you do. Trade him to somebody who needs another infielder. Or
that might give him a fresh start.
Another maybe. Position player. And maybe the fresh start is what he needs. Maybe that his confidence is down after... Luke basically playing himself down into a platoon and now a bench situation. So maybe a fresh start is exactly what he needs. But you know, I don't know what we do with him. It's one of those things that I'm glad I'm not getting paid to make this decision. That's for sure. But if you put me in a tough spot and said, what would I do with him? I'd probably trade him for
anything you can get, really.
Yeah, maybe a minor league relief pitcher.
We'd have to pay some of his contract probably still, but just to get some of that money out would be nice.
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
Is this his last year on his contract, does it say?
I'm
pretty sure it is, but.
Yeah, I'm not seeing his contract information on here. But what, yeah, I just.
I like the guy, but as a person, he's been great coming up through the organization, but I don't know what happened to him. We'll have to see if he can improve in the next 20 games or so. Give him up to the All-Star break and see what happens.
Yeah, I think he's a guy we need to stick with for a little bit. Let him see if he gets his confidence back. But then after that, if he hasn't figured it out by the All-Star break, I think it might be time to just give him up for peanuts and just move on. Because Jeanette has been playing well. And that's the other side of that deal. If Jeanette starts to slump, maybe we give Weeks a series as a starter and just leave him out there and just, here you go. Here's your chance to win the job back. And maybe he plays well in that situation. And then you go back to having a real competition. And maybe you have a real platoon. So we're going to have to take that wait and see approach with Weeks. But speaking strictly as a fan who has no affiliation with the Brewers except for being a fan of the Brewers, I am glad I don't have to make the call on Ricky Weeks.
His contract is through 2014, so this year.
Yep.
There's a team option for next year, which we're definitely not picking up.
Hopefully not.
It was 4 years, $38 million, so he's making roughly $12 million this year. Or, wait, no, 10? 9 million?
About 9. About 9.
My,
9.5.
I thought I heard 12, so maybe it was one of those things where...
Escalators, yeah. And stuff. Yeah, I'm sure that's how it was. But, you know, one thing we can speak highly of to turn this around has been the batting order and the way Ron Renneke has set it up. One thing he did this year, or during the season, is he had Gene Segura start the year in the two hole, and then he moved him down to the eight hole and put Jeanette in the two spot, which that was a move I was really high on. And now he's kind of putting Jeanette.
He's putting Segura back in the two tonight just because Ricky's playing, because Ricky will bat eighth. If we had Ricky in the two holes, just would be awful, but Gomez batting leadoff was a good call, I think. We thought Segura would probably bat leadoff at the beginning of the year, but Gomez is just nice. He can hit home runs and just get on base and run for days. So
he strikes out a lot, but a lot of his strikeouts are him swinging a little to hit the ball a little too hard instead of just...
He's already come out of his helmet three times every game.
Yeah, instead of doing the Willie Mays Hayes from Major League 2... Just put the ball on the ground and just run.
I feel like he has Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah, sometimes he feels like
he'll just start doing push-ups when he hits a pop-up from now on.
Except that he hits home runs left and right, so I wouldn't want him to spend too much of his time doing push-ups.
Ricky's contract is for $11 million this year. Had to look it up to make sure I was right, but
perfect.
$1 million off.
That's quite all right. So, for the most part, the Brewers have had, and Gomez has been batting leadoff, we've had...
I think they'll probably stick with Jeanette when he's in there, he'll bat second.
And then Braun in the three hole, Rami in the four, and Luke in the five. That's made the most sense. They've done well. Braun.
Then they have Davis six, I believe.
Yeah. Yep.
It's in the first base platoon, kind of.
Yep.
Mostly Reynolds.
Has been batting seventh. And if Reynolds hits more consistently, that gives Renneke even more flexibility, because maybe then he shuffles things up a little bit more, and maybe he puts Reynolds up in...
Yeah, maybe him and Davis switch
four,
around.
Or five and the mm-hmm. six. And you have a lot of flexibility with that lineup, and if guys have days off, you can definitely move people around, and you still have good hitters in the power alley of the lineup. So
I feel like he's just trying to take pressure off Segura by putting him eighth, too, because he's kind of struggled a little bit to start the season, but... He has been hitting more in the eighth spot, too.
And the nice thing about him in the eight hole, and it's nice, because when you're batting ahead of the pitcher, a lot of times pitchers aren't going to give you anything really to hit. They're going to pitch around you, and let you hit yourself out, because then they can just pitch to the pitcher with you on base and get the pitcher out, and you're fine. But with him in the eight hole, he has the speed, so when he's on base, he can move himself over to second by stealing second, and then the pitcher can just bunt him to third, theoretically. And if he does get a good pitch to hit...
Yeah, it's kind of against common sense that he would be doing better in the eighth hole, because you'd think he'd see more pitches in the two-hole bay in front of Brown.
Yep.
But I don't know if some people just get too nervous or what in the second hole, like they try to do too much.
Or he doesn't really hit himself out. That's the other part of it, too, is there's pitches that are just nipping at the corners, and he's able to, with his long arms, reach out and just poke the ball out for a nice little base hit.
And he can't really run in front of Brown because you don't want to make outs with Brown up, so.
You don't want to run yourself into outs with Brown, Rami, and Lucroy coming up next. So he had to be real opportunistic, whereas if you're running in front of the pitcher, as long as there's not two outs, usually you're fine.
Yeah.
So it's definitely been a work of art. This batting order has this year.
The Milwaukee does lead the league in caught stealing with 11, but they have stolen the fifth most with 20.
Yeah, but so it's nice to see, because that's something...
I remember the Maka teams where they never ran, so I don't care if they get caught.
Even the Ned Yost years where they were real picky, choosy. They had fast guys up and down the lineup. They wouldn't run. So it's nice to see Ron be willing to just send them, just go. And it doesn't work out, obviously, 20 for 31.
A lot of those caught stealings were against the Pirates, I remember, because Russell Martin.
Yes.
Was just making perfect throws. It was bang, bang, so that could have been different.
Yeah. I still think, though, that it's aggressiveness is what that extra, if you can get that extra base by being aggressive, if you're thrown out early in the game for doing it, you get in the fielders' heads that you're willing to do it time and again. And maybe they make a mistake because they think too much, and that extra base can win you ball games. And by winning you a ball game in April or May or June, maybe that's that little edge to get you into the playoffs. And then in the playoffs, that one base could win you a game, which could win you a series, which we're not going to talk about winning the World Series because that doesn't happen.
I already bought my tickets.
Did you? Where you at? Oh. If only.
Hopefully Milwaukee. Yeah.
If only.
Still have my Game 7 tickets to the NLCS against St. Louis. Sitting there waiting to go. Still waiting to go.
Haven't redeemed them yet. That's too bad. But kind of, just like the batting order has been great, obviously if a team is 17-6, it's not just hitting. Because in baseball, you can hit all you want. You can score 14 runs every game. But if your pitching can't hold them to 6 or 5 or 4 at that point, then you're screwed. To be quite frank and blunt, and the Brewers pitching staff has actually been.
Yeah, the pitching has been by far the best thing going for Milwaukee this year. I'm trying to pull up some stats here to see how they're doing against the league. I believe they're second in ERA, but don't count me on that. I'm going to look it up quick.
All right, well, while you pull up that
yep,
stat.
Yep, second on our ERA.
Perfect. I'll just kind of run down some of the leaders in the clubhouse as far as pitching stats go. Three guys so far for the Brewers have a 0 ERA. Kinsler in 5 games, K-Rod in 13, excuse me, and Will Smith in 12, all have a 0 ERA, and those three have combined for 11 saves. Thornburg has a sub-1 ERA. He's in 12 games, and he has a 2-0 record. He's been a surprise.
Yes,
he has been.
Quick question, if K-Rod happens to go down somehow, do you think Thornburg will be the closer, not Henderson?
Thornburg. Has to be. You don't play as well as Thornburg has played and not make a loud enough argument. He's given up one earned run in 12 and a third innings.
It's nice kind of having, I feel like, three setup men that can get the job done. Henderson, Thornburg, and Smith can all come in and give you that seventh and eighth inning and shut down the team and get to K-Rod to close it.
And speaking about just the starting five, I mean, we had a great bullpen. But just looking at the numbers for our starting five, Yo is 2-0 with a 1.42 ERA. Willie Peralta is 3-0 with a 2.19 ERA.
Yeah, Peralta and Estrada aren't pitching like 4 or 5 guys right now.
They're pitching like potential front end, at least 2-3. And there are back end guys. Loesch is 4-1 with a 2.38 ERA. Garza's 1-2 Only a 4 ERA, but...
He has not got any run support.
No. Like we said, his first two starts, he got zero runs.
And most of those runs on his ERA were from that Pirates game, whereas I believe we won 8-7.
Yep.
So we did win that game. So he keeps us in the game, but just hasn't got run support.
He hasn't. And Marco Estrada's 1-1 with a 2.66 ERA. So our rotation guys are pitching extremely well. And we mentioned Thornburg potentially being the closer. I mean, Will Smith has a save. So he's a good guy that could come in and potentially be a closer. Jim Henderson was the closer last year. K-Rod's 10 for 10.
I believe Smith got that save too, wasn't it? The game Loesch went 8 2/3, and he just came in and got the lefty right at the end.
You know,
I believe
it,
so.
It might be. I will.
While you're looking that up, I'll just go over some team pitching stats. We're number 2 in ERA behind the Braves, which, like I said before, is a pretty good team. We're pitching overall at 2.5 ERA. Our opponent batting average is .217, which is up there as well. Let's see what that ranks on the major league level. That is number 1, actually. So overall, our pitching staff has just been huge for us, and if they continue to do that, I don't see how the Brewers can start slumping, even with their batting being so inconsistent. If you're always in the game with the pitchers only giving up like 1-4 runs, you always have a chance to win.
Yeah, that one save for Will Smith was the 9th game in that 9-game winning streak. It was the game against Pittsburgh. Loesch went 8 2/3, like you said, and Will Smith came in and got that last out, a 3-pitch strikeout for the save. So, you know what?
Yeah, he's been by far one of our better relievers, proving me wrong.
Yeah.
I was sad to see Aoki go, but I'm loving some Will Smith.
And clearly we're deep on outfield, so... Aoki would have been nice to keep for what he did at the plate, but when you can add another bullpen guy who's pitched the way Will Smith has pitched this year.
Yeah, I don't know where Aoki would have been in our lineup now that I think about it. Like, he couldn't really bat 6 because he's not a power hitter. But
we would have had to almost let Schaefer.
Maybe Gomez would
have. We'd have had to let Chris Davis or Schaefer go, one of them, and they would have been the 4th outfielder.
I bet Gomez probably would bat 5th, Lucre would have batted 6, and we would have had like Segura and Aoki at the top, maybe. Or Jeanette and Aoki. I don't know, been weird. We don't have to talk about it since it's not going to happen.
No.
Just weird.
No sense in alluding to it. But yeah, like we were saying, though, this has been for years. I remember way back in the Ned Yost, Ken Maka era where the hitting, it's just been mashers up and down the lineup. And every season preview about the Brewers had been great team, great potential, chance to make a deep run. But
we didn't have pitching.
It's all about the pitching.
I feel like I'm a Cardinal fan this year where they always have great pitching, just some random guys on their offense like Skip Schumacher at second. That's kind of like Scooter Jeanette, just a short white guy that can just get on base and do the little things.
And you don't expect him to do well, and they end up being the best hitter on the team and the most important hitter on the team. So it's a great surprise, and by all means, if this pitching keeps up, 17-6 could turn into 50-20. Which could be good for a 10-game lead at that point, and then at that point you gotta just keep going, just one game at a time. And even Rob Wooten has pitched in 4 games, and he has an 8.31 ERA. He's one of the you could say one of the worst.
I'm pretty
pitchers.
Sure he gave up like 3 runs without getting out in that Pirates game, so kind of bloated it.
So there are certain guys here who we could look at and say they haven't pitched as well as the other guys. But at the same time, when you have so many guys like we have, going back to the closer situation, if God forbid, K-Rod gets hurt, we have Kinsler, we have Will Smith, we have Thornburg, we have Jim Henderson, we have guys that can plug right in. So with that many guys at the back end of our bullpen who are that good, our pitchers don't have to go 8 innings. They don't have to worry about going 9. They can go 6. And then we can go Kinsler, Thornburg, K-Rod, or Thornburg, Kinsler, K-Rod, or Thornburg, Henderson. We have so many guys that can pitch those last 3 innings and hold the lead for us. So all we really have to do is on offense is just give the starters the lead so they can leave with the lead and keep picking up W's.
Yeah, one thing too, just not being succumbed to injuries so far this year has been really nice. I think we've only lost Kinsler for... He went on the 15-day DL, but he came back this weekend. That's why Wooten was up, and Schaefer went on the DL. So Herrera's up. He's been playing some outfield and infield. And then I know there's talks of Brown at the beginning of the year, how his thumb was still injured. and he might have to get surgery. But then the next day he went out and hit those three home runs. So kind of proved people wrong there. So hopefully everyone can continue to stay healthy. Ramirez has been healthy again. His knees are right there, and he's having another great season.
And kind of going off that injury bug, it's nice when we have a guy like Schaefer who can, or Chris Davis, who kind of, they platooned and left, but we could give Braun a day off and right, and Schaefer can move to right, and he's not Braun by any means, but he still plays well defensively. He's pretty good offensively, so it's nice to be able to give Braun that nice day off every once in a while. I know Schaefer's hurt now, but when he gets healthy, it's nice that we can keep giving Braun scheduled days off, keep him available to pinch hit in a tight game, late game situation. It's nice to have a guy like that can come off the bench once in a while. And, I mean, just the injury bug avoiding us has been, I think, extremely instrumental in us being where we're at. And obviously, if a team's going to go 17-6, a lot of factors play into that. And we've had the hitting, we've had the pitching, and we've avoided the injury bug. So
hopefully it keeps up. Knock on wood.
Speaking of knocking on wood, we're going to introduce a new segment.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Dan's Brewers Superstitious.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Ryan, I'm not superstitious. I'm a little stitious, though. And one thing I like to do is I like to wear Brewers gear during the day on game days, because I like to show my pride for being a Brewer. However, this year, I may not be able to for much longer. Being the guy that I am and the stat junkie I am, I've kept the Brewers record and what I've worn that day. And when I've worn my Prince Fielder jersey, the Brewers are 2-0, so I might wear that more often. But when I don't wear any Brewers apparel at all, nothing that says Brewers on it, they're 14-2. So, playing the odds, I think I might have to retire much of my Brewers merchandise for the rest of the season.
Well, that's a sad thing, but I'm going to keep wearing it. But you go ahead and do what you want. Whatever helps the Brewers win, I will gladly be on board. So are you going to take that shirt off right now or what?
I probably should, but for everybody's entertainment value and for the goodness of their eyes, I'll leave it on.
The glare!
All right, well, we'll do a little awards talk. Why not?
Why not? Never too early.
We'll do our way too early in the season awards.
All right. Do you want me to ask you, or we can just both talk about it? I'll say, I guess.
So just name the award. We'll both chime in.
Well, let's start with maybe most improved as the Brewers so far. What player would you go with?
Thornburg. Tyler Thornburg.
Stole it.
Yeah. Tyler
Thornburg. How can you not go with him, though?
He has been the best pitcher, aside from K-Rod, in our bullpen, as he has been lights out this year. We had said his 2-0 ERA, or 2-0 record, sub-1 ERA. He's been just absolutely phenomenal. And last year, at the major league level, in 18 games, he was 3-1 with a 2 ERA. So he wasn't even that bad. He had 7 starts, 18 appearances overall. So he did pitch well last year. But to come out this year on absolute fire like he is, in my mind, he has to be the most improved player.
Since you stole Thornburg from me, I'm going to have to go with K-Rod, because last year he had 10 saves all year, and he already has 10, and it's, what, April 25th or 26th?
Today's the 26th, yep.
So pitching 13 innings already, given up no runs, only 3 walks, and 20 strikeouts. 20 strikeouts, 3 walks for K-Rod. Know how crazy that is? This is his best start since 2008 when he had 62 saves with the Angels.
But still a single-season record.
I don't see him getting there anytime soon, but if he gets 35-40, that's going to be a great season. Probably, I don't expect him not to blow a game, obviously.
Right.
He always puts guys on and makes it a little scary, but...
Well, you're a closer. I mean, the spotlight's already on you, but it's nice to have a little...
You got to give the fans a little something to be scared about.
Yeah,
give them some gray hairs.
And if you're on the road, you got to give the other fans a little bit of hope and then just...
Crush their hearts.
Wipe the rug out right from underneath them.
Exactly. He's only given up 5 hits in those 13 innings. Opponents batting 119.
which is definitely good numbers for a closer.
So the next award, we'll move on. What about staying? I guess we didn't have to pick pitchers last time, but we're going to pick some right now because we're going Cy Young for the Brewers.
Well, it's, here's the catch-22 I always have with Cy Young. The Cy Young Award is always given to a starting pitcher, justifiably so. And generally, when the media members who pick it look at win-loss. And they don't really look at much else. But I guess my pick kind of has a pretty good record so far. Giovanni Gallardo, 2-0, 1.42 ERA, ace of the staff. The Brewers have played well when he started. So he's given up 25 hits. He's only given up 5 runs, and he's walked 9. But he has 23 strikeouts, and hitters are only hitting .219 against him. So his numbers are up.
It's hard to choose so far.
It is. That's a great problem to have when we can't just say this guy is clearly the Cy Young. Let's move on to the next topic. But I think I would have to say Giovanni Gallardo at this point.
I'm going to pull a little curveball and pick Willy Peralta.
I thought about that one.
Just because you didn't really expect a number five starter to be 3-0 with a 2.19 ERA at this point. I just expected him to, if he could win half his games this year, that'd be a great season for him. But he's off to such a great start. I'm just going to give him a little acknowledgement right now. He's 3-0 with a 2.19 ERA and 24 innings pitched. He's only given up, 4 home runs in those games. So one a game, which is down from last season. He's striking out more people, 19 already this season, and just overall, he's been that guy we needed in the back end of the rotation to win those games that weren't expected to be won.
Yeah, he's second on the team in wins to this point, right behind Loesch, and he hasn't even started. He has another game to start to match Loesch's games played. So,
yeah, I believe the MLB leader for wins is 4 right now. Loesch is tied with Lance Lynn and maybe some other guys. But yeah. So being one behind the leader in wins is just pretty crazy for Willy Peralta.
Especially being the number 5 guy in the rotation. You don't think you're going to get that from your number 5. So, no complaints there.
Yeah, I haven't really seen what he's been doing different than he was last season. Maybe it's just getting more run support or what, but I don't think it is. He's just doing his thing.
From what I've taken in of the Willy Peralta games, is he's pitched well. He's gotten himself into a couple of pickles here and there, but he's able to pitch himself out. He's able to get the big out, and he's gotten the run support. So I think he could even been an argument for most improved player on the team too. So
oh yeah, that's true.
You know, right there, 2 awards show you how well this team has improved from last year. We have a most improved, and we have a Cy Young. We can make an argument for almost anybody on the team. So no complaints.
Yeah, and they're doing this with an all-righty rotation.
Starting rotation, yeah. But they have a handful of lefties in that bullpen. And
yeah, that's nice.
Unorthodox, but it works.
Yeah, it gives Renicky a lot of options to use. Will Smith can come in and go maybe an inning or two, and then you can use
Zach Duke
for lefty specialist.
Lefty specialist. Wei Chung Wong,
makes great Instagram videos. Basically, that's all he's done this year.
He's a Rule 5 draft pick, so we're... If the Brewers do have a long-term plan with him, he's going to be on the team, so we might as well get used to him. I think he's just going to be that guy we talk about.
Yeah, they couldn't put him back in the minors, or else someone could have stole him.
I think if we put him in the minors, he reverts back to the team we took him from, which would be Pittsburgh, so he would actually not leave the division. So I think that's part of the reason he's going to stay.
Yeah, and he's a good prospect for next year. They're giving him some opportunities. He didn't pitch for the first 2 weeks. He actually got his paycheck before his first appearance, but
I think Wei Chung Wong, just to kind of put a bow on this topic, I think the plan is for him is going to be ride it out, get the occasional opportunity, and then next year go back to Double and Triple A, really get a groove for basically major league hitting, and really get a rhythm and figure it out, and then the Brewers will have to figure out if they want him to plan to be a starter or to plan to be a lefty specialist in the bullpen, and then carry on. But what's the next award you have over there on that list?
Going on a little negative side, most disappointing.
Oh, yeah. Really? You're gonna swing that?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to pick
I mean,
you could go with Ricky Weeks, but that's just kind of a cop-out, I believe.
Yeah, you bet it is. It's an easy pick to make. And kind of the flip side of that coin we were saying before, it's a great problem to have that you can't pick an MVP or Cy Young most improved player because there's too many guys that qualify for it. It's good that on this one it seems too easy that it'd be Ricky Weeks because there's no real pitcher aside from Wei Chong Wong two opportunities in. Then he could be, but you didn't really expect it. He'd be a Rule 5 prospect. We didn't expect him to play well, so I think Ricky Weeks playing himself out of a platoon, it's too obvious. It's too easy, but it has to be. It has to be.
I'm going to go with Gene Segura just because he's only batting 239 right now, and he did start in the second hole, and they moved him down to eighth to try to get his confidence back up maybe. But it might actually help the Brewers in the long run if he kind of has a down year this year. Might be able to sign him easier. Because I know him and his agent, or the Brewers and his agent, are kind of having like a little battle trying to get him signed for a long term. I don't think he's obviously going to be a career 239 hitter.
No.
So he's going to improve. I was between him or Chris Davis, only has 6 RBIs this year, and a lot of people expected a big year from him, but he's still driving in the runs that are needed, I guess. But we'll see if both of them can improve as the season goes on.
All right, what's the
last one?
Last one.
MVP.
Yeah.
MVP.
Back to that old situation. Well, you know what? The V in MVP is valuable. So who has – and this is what I always don't like is baseball writers pick the MVP based on who has the most home runs or the highest batting average or RBIs. They don't look at the whole value to a team. And to me, the MVP has to be Jonathan Lucroy. 20 games played. He has only one home run, but he has 8 RBIs. He's drawn 9 walks. He has a stolen base. He leads the team in batting average at .333. He has an above .400 on base percentage, and he's almost got a .500 slugging. So, at the plate, offensively, he's a catalyst for the team. He's in the middle of the order. He gets guys in. He gets them around. He sets up the bottom of the order for success. But if you're going to have a great pitching staff, you have a great catcher. And defensively, Jonathan Lucroy, he's a leader of the pitching staff. He's a leader of the defense, and he has the most value to the team. So, right there.
He has to be the most underappreciated player in MLB.
Must be.
But I'm going to go with, since it's where we would be without him, Scooter Genet.
Oh.
If we had put Ricky in there every day, it would have been awful. Jeanette's batting over .300. He has 8 RBIs, which is 4th on the team. 3 stolen bases, which is 2nd on the team. And my iPad just died, so I don't know any other stats.
On Scooter Genet, let's see. He's got the one homer, 8 RBIs. He's struck out only 10 times. He's got 3 stolen bases. He's only been caught once, so he's 75% there.
And his defense has been phenomenal.
Yes, he has. He's slugging .448. He's got a .352 on base and a .313 average. So, yeah, I can't argue against that. And that's a real credit to him improving and the Brewers' offense around him and as a whole club just playing tremendously well. Well, we'll take the last few minutes we have here, and we'll kind of take a sneak peek as to what's on deck for the Brewers. Looking ahead, obviously this weekend they're wrapping up a series with the Cubs, but next week they have a 3-game set in St. Louis. Gallardo, Loesch, and Garza are expected to start, so that's going to be a huge series for us as we have our top 3 against them. But they'll also have Michael Wacha, Lance Lynn, and Shelby Miller going, so 6 great pitchers pitching in those 3 games. So that'll be a real measuring stick as to where the Brewers are really at right now in the season.
Yeah, they got a pretty tough couple weeks ahead. I believe they play a lot of divisional games. Reds.
Yep, we got the following that, we'll have a 4-game set in Cincinnati, and then we'll get some reprieve. We'll have the Diamondbacks and Yankees in town, as well as the Pirates. And then looking out into the middle of May, the 16th, 17th, and 18th, we'll be at Wrigley. Then the 19th through the 22nd of May, we'll be at Atlanta, and then the 23rd through the 25th will be at Miami. So, and we have a stretch there where these are mostly winnable games.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks haven't been too great lately. They were supposed to be one of the teams fighting for the NL West, but they've been slumping. So hopefully we can catch them on a down streak.
Having them at home, and it looks like we're expected to have Garza, Estrada, and Peralta pitching. So we should, that looks like, and then it looks like we'll set it up nicely for the Yankees series to have our top three guys go then too. So it looks like we have a really good chance to continue the 17-6 streak to start the year. Looks like we should have a good chance this coming week to get a real stranglehold on the division and really get a nice lead on the Cardinals if we can take at least two out of three at St. Louis. And as long as our pitching can hold up, I don't see why they can't keep it going.
Exactly. We got a listener mail in today. It was kind of fantasy baseball related for some reason, but we'll answer it for them.
Okay.
If you had to pick one infielder on the Brewers other than Ramirez, who would you choose to be in your starting rotation? Would it be Jeanette, Segura, first baseman, I guess? It has to be between Jeanette and Segura.
Yeah, it would be between those two because Reynolds is good, so you'd have to really pay attention to the Brewers lineup every day to make sure he was going to be in the lineup. Aside from Rami, that's a good question. That is a tremendous. I'd say Jeanette because Segura's bouncing around in the lineup trying to find a spot where he's comfortable, whereas Jeanette is day in and day out consistently hitting the ball.
And depending on what league you play in, he won't help you in homers, but he'll up your average.
He'll up your average.
Steal some.
They're both kind of
the same player, just Jeanette's hitting more right now.
Yes, he's a little bit more consistent at the plate right now. Give it a week, and with baseball, we could be talking completely opposite, and we could be talking about Ricky Weeks.
Hopefully. Hopefully getting traded would be the talk.
But. Yes. But, I agree with you. I think I would say it's Jeanette as well. So
that works for me.
Awesome. Well, you've been listening to BernieBall.net podcast. Be sure to check out the rest of the website for a lot of great Brewers updates. And for Ryan Conham, I'm Dan White. Thanks for listening.
Remember to like us on Facebook and Twitter. It's BernieBall.net. Just look it up. You'll find it. Thank you.